Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications.
Hello, and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm Ed White, your host this week. Well, there are certainly a lot of relief farmers across Western Canada this week. Rains have again hit many parched areas, and many crops, fields, and pastures have been saved, at least for now. Later in the show, we'll talk to an expert crop watcher about how effective these rains might have been in preserving some of the crops out there. Those rains and an entirely different weather situation in the U.S. Corn Belt are having a noticeable effect on the markets, and we'll catch up with that too. And we'll hear from one of Canada's outstanding young farmer couples. But first, did those rains come in time to save the cow herd? There was a lot of worry in cattle country about the state of pastures, hay, and feed crops, and that saw cows heading to market. Lisa Gunther, the editor of Cattleman magazine, joins us now to explain what those rains might have meant to the prairie herd. Hello, Lisa, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me.
So what is the impact of these rains we've had recently across most of the prairies? What does that mean for the cattle folks out there?
Well, I think they'll be welcome by producers who have received those rains. It has been quite dry in areas, and some producers have had years of consecutive drought now. It'll help the pastures, and of course, like any green feed or annual crops that have been seeded for feed. But it's likely come too late for a lot of the hay. Some producers are already taking the first cut or have finished their first cut. And there's also reports of hay heading out. So anything that's heading out is not in a vegetative state and won't be growing. So.
And what's the outlook for that for the rest of the season?
There was a report by Marlo Glass. She interviewed some folks from Environment Canada, and it notes that really we need regular rains throughout a lot of the season just to keep things going. So I think it still remains to be seen what the rest of the season will look like.
Yeah, and I can imagine there's a heck of a lot of subsoil to be rebuilt before we can get back to anything like normal.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, the folks are going to need regular rains, not just one or two more decent rains, but they'll need some regular precipitation coming in to restore things. How does it leave them, I guess, looking towards surviving through another winter, trying to balance their herds with the feeds they have?
Well, I think there will generally be a hay shortage. I'm not sure how severe that shortage will be. But if we get regular rains, I think producers will have a good shot at sourcing green feeds and possibly annual crops that maybe see a bit of hail or something and can be salvaged for cattle feed. So, it remains to be seen. Things are really still in flux right now for cattle producers.
And there seemed to be a lot of anxiety a few weeks ago. Have you spoken to anyone recently, how they're feeling now that there's, I guess, a little bit of moisture gotten into the soil now?
I've kind of been getting emails and just talking to people. And, you know, it's actually quite variable, even 2 weeks ago. But generally, it seemed like in Saskatchewan, for example, in West Central and parts of southwestern Saskatchewan, it seemed very, very dire. But those that have been getting rain are really happy to see it. So, and you know, there's other pockets where actually they have been getting moisture through the spring, like around Calgary, for example. And actually, I got an email and a photo from a producer, a bison producer by Pigeon Lake, and he reported that they'd had 5 inches so far this year. So it's been quite variable even within regions, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine there's some people who've still got almost nothing.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll continue getting those timely rains and people will get enough rain at least to salvage green feed crops and pastures this year.
Lisa, you folks follow the feed situation quite closely, don't you?
Yeah, we've actually added a new online feature following feed and forage conditions across the prairies and Ontario. It's called Feed Watch, and it comes out every Monday on the Cattlemen website. So stay tuned for that, and that'll be throughout the growing season.
Well, thanks very much, Lisa, for joining us. Thanks for coming on Between the Rows.
Thank you.
Lisa Gunther is editor with Cattlemen. Saskatchewan's candidate for Canada's Outstanding Young Farmer competition was announced during Canada's Farm Progress Show in Regina. Jason and Jenna Ranger from Shelbrook will represent the province at the national competition later this year, after they were chosen from a field of three farm couples. The Rangers spoke to Western producer managing editor Mike Rain and reporter Karen Briere after the announcement. Here's what the Rangers had to say.
I think we feel very honored and excited to be part of the group and happy to be here. So we farm 11,000 acres in the Leeskin and Shelbrook areas. We grow primarily canola, wheat, oats, and some lentils. And we're pretty spread out geographically and farm a lot of different land types. And so we kind of try and use that to our advantage where we can.
Jason's passion for farming started when he was young.
I grew up on a grain farm and always followed my dad around and spent as much time as I could on the farm with him. And I think that was what instilled the love of agriculture in me right from a very young age. So farming was all I ever wanted to do when I was growing up, and I never knew whether that was going to be a reality for sure or not. And eventually I got the opportunity to start farming. A neighbor of ours rented me his farm when he went to South America for 2 years. John and Barb Cody, they were from Leask, and they were how we got our start.
Jenna grew up on a mixed farm near Many Berries, Alberta, but her career took a different path. She graduated from the University of Saskatchewan in 2011 with her degree in dentistry. She currently works both in private practice and in the operating room at Victoria Hospital in Prince Albert, where she is chief of dentistry. Even though they have different careers, Jenna said the couple has a lot in common.
Just made us a great team. We both have very demanding and challenging careers, but I feel like that makes us both very driven people, and I think that's what attracted each other. So, we just love working as a part of a team, but even though we have separate businesses, we just are both very hardworking and driven people.
Jenna was asked whether it's her goal to become more active on the farm.
Do you have any intention of or any interest in, driving the combine or anything like that?
So I just found out one of the nominees actually learned how to drive the seeder this year, and she assures me I can do it, but I will wait probably for a little while before I move forward with driving the seeder.
Jason said they are focusing on doing a better job on the acres they have rather than continuing to expand.
Yeah, we expanded a lot over the last decade, and so we're kind of at a size now that we're happy with, and so we've definitely slowed down expansion from what we were doing before, and now it's kind of about improving our business and trying to make it better any way that we can.
The Rangers are expanding in one direction, though. They welcomed their first child into the family in 2017 and are making sure they build time into their busy careers to spend time with her. The family will be traveling to Fredericton, New Brunswick in early December to compete nationally. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host, Ed White. Last week, Bruce Burnett of Markets Farm talked about the impact of the first Western Canadian rains. We've had more rain and more time to assess the impact of this needed moisture. I've asked Bruce to come on the show again to sum up the impact, and here he is. Hello, Bruce, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
So there's been quite a lot of moisture come in a number of events. Where are we at now?
Well, we're certainly a lot better off than we were 2 weeks ago. Over these past 2 weeks, we've seen a substantial portion of Alberta and Saskatchewan pick up between 2 and 3 inches of rain. Now, to put that in context, generally speaking, most areas of the prairies would receive about 3 inches of rain during June. So we've sort of caught up to what we were expecting during June. It came a little late probably for most people, but at least we've had that rain. In some areas where we've had more than 3 inches, we're certainly off and going at the races right now in terms of the crops, certainly going to improve things. There are three distinct areas, though, on the prairies that are still lagging in terms of normal moisture. One of those is up in the Peace River region, where we really have received some rain here from these events, but not nearly enough to make up for the deficits. Second area is in southern Alberta, more or less southeastern Alberta, which seems to have been missing most of these rains as they've gone through. So that region also needs to see a pickup in precipitation. And, you know, maybe this week, as we see another system roll through on the weekend, we can see that area get filled in. The third area is in Manitoba, where you, if you take a look, it's sort of from central or eastern Manitoba up into the northwestern areas of the province and a small little portion of northeastern Saskatchewan, where those areas have not received an awful lot of rain here from these systems as well. So those are the three areas that need to see some rains here. They've had some, but certainly not enough to sustain the crops here for more than a week or two.
And the folks that got their 2 or 3 inches, how long does that make them okay for? How long are they going to be caught up for, and when do they start having to? Because I know there's also not much subsoil out there from years before. So when do they start needing to see more rains in general across the prairies?
Well, I think this buys us enough time in those areas that have had more than 2 inches into about the first 10 days in July. A lot depends on what kind of temperatures we get. And it does look like early July is going to be relatively hot. So I would say after the first week in July, we're going to start to look for some additional rainfall, especially in the areas that have received, let's say, an inch to an inch and a half rather than at 2 to 3 inches that we've seen in other areas.
And are you able to estimate right now how much yield potential is lost by the early season stress?
Well, it's very difficult because part of the early season loss is due to poor germination and emergence of the crop. Now, what has happened is we've seen those crops actually start to grow, and so we have this quite variable emergence across the prairies. So it's very difficult to put a yield on this, especially since these rains did occur in the second half of June mostly. Those crops didn't start again to germinate. That later flush of crop didn't start to germinate till past sort of the optimal date for the crops to start growing in the prairies. So there is some risk on the quality side from frost in the late fall there. So there can be a number of factors here that are going to cause some issues, I think, with quality as we go forward. But basically, I think for now, the yield potential would still struggle to reach average yield potential, let's say, for the prairie region, just because of the fact that we've started these rains too late in the growing season.
Which crops are most particularly vulnerable to an early season stress, relieved or not? What is going to take the biggest hit from something like we just got through?
Well, I think the obvious crop is peas, field peas, mostly because those crops are generally planted as a drought avoidance mechanism where they get planted and try to get mature before the end of July so that they can miss the hot and dry part of the growing season if they do run out of moisture. Unfortunately, those crops didn't emerge very well, and so we're going to probably see an impact on the field peas first off. As well, I think the second crop is obviously canola because of the small seeds and the difficulty in getting that crop germinated this year. We're going to see quite a bit of variable emergence. On the positive side for canola, in those areas that got the rains earlier on in June, we saw some germination because of those rains, and those crops should get back to a fairly normal yield potential as long as we have good growing degree days through July and August.
Well, thanks very much, Bruce, for doing this again and catching us up with where this variable crop is at right now. Now we'll turn to Bruce's colleague at Markets Farm, Phil France-Workington, to catch us up on what's going on in the markets. So thanks, Phil, for joining us, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Thanks for having me.
So we have gone from having extremely dull markets earlier this year to very exciting markets due to corn. What's going on now?
Yeah, it's still, it's always exciting for some reason or other. It's still a whole lot about weather. The corn is, I don't know, maybe it's not as exciting anymore on corn because corn, it's a whole bunch of the U.S. corn crop didn't get seeded because it was too wet and they couldn't plant it. and time goes on and it's almost the end of June and it's too late to plant corn, basically. So still time to plant soybeans, but it's been too wet and they corn acres won't be whatever they were expecting they were going to be. Soybean acres, some of that might go into soybeans, but they're behind as well. So that's sort of a supportive influence for everything. But we're talking here on Tuesday, and soybeans went down today because there's a bit of a window of opportunity, maybe, to plant some soybeans. Corn didn't really do a whole lot of anything. But there'll be a couple big numbers. The USDA has their acreage report out this Friday, the 28th, and that'll be, you know, people will watch that. But the thing there is, a number of people I talk to say USDA is going to do another survey because there's no way this survey is going to show everything that was lost because of the weather and what wasn't seeded and whatnot. Statistics Canada, looking at Canada, they've got their own acreage numbers on the June 26th, Wednesday, and you know, there were no delays really in seeding our crops, so that should be as accurate as stats can get as far as that goes. But you know, here the story in the U.S. has all been about the you know, too much water, too much moisture, bad seeding weather, and declining condition ratings. Here it's all dryness, not enough moisture. Rains this past week has caused canola to go down, canola prices, but some of the drier areas, key canola growing areas, they didn't get as much water as others, so, and too little too late, and so it's a lot of the weather and the moisture and who got rains and who didn't, and that's a story that's going to play out over the next little while, I think.
Yes, anything but a uniform crop out there, right?
Yes, yeah. Not uniform is definitely a good way to put it. So how you can't really put a finger on what will turn out, because, you know, yields might be better in some areas where they got rain, but they're probably going to be lower than average overall. That's the same in the U.S. Their yields will be lower than average just because of late seeding and too much moisture. At the same time, that's every year, you know, they have the weather market a few times over the growing season, and 9 times out of 10 they harvest and, oh, hey, yields are better than we expected. So we'll something to watch. Yes.
Are we seeing any interesting price action in terms of more sort of specifically Canadian crops or ones that are heavily influenced by Canadian conditions? I'm thinking things like spring wheat or any of the pulse crops. You seen anything interesting happening there because of this bizarro situation across the fields of Western North America?
Yes. Well, spring wheat's definitely one to watch. Like the Canadian, what's happening in Canada is getting talked up in the U.S. Markets, and well, much of where their spring wheat is grown, you know, North Dakota, and that is not too far away from you know, similar weather and conditions to what Canada's had in many ways. They although they ran into some later seeding, they get the rain seemed to stop in North Dakota a lot of times, but the the wheat is definitely, they're all following kind of the same things there. I don't know, I feel like there should be at some point, like for spring wheat, you'd think there'd be a protein premium type thing come into play at some point. That hasn't really shown itself yet, but the with the American crop, their wheat, and they're having problems harvesting winter wheat now. because of the same wetness that caused problems seeding their other crops. So the you know, more moisture in their winter wheat, that usually leads to lower proteins. So that would imply higher proteins would be in shorter supply, which usually bodes well for spring wheats have higher protein, but that and dry weather as well would lead to higher protein levels here, and that could be opportunities for that if the worldwide protein supplies get tight, which some people have said, but hasn't really shown up in the spreads on the wheats yet. So
there's so much weather going on, so much exciting weather for us to talk about. We haven't even mentioned China, and you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you about it, because that's such a relief after these months of talking about China.
That is, yes, so we'll not talk about it, but watch for G20 meetings and who meets with who over the coming up in the next while. And
then we'll be talking about it again.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Phil, for joining us here on Between the Rows.
Thanks for having me.
Phil Franz-Workington is with Markets Farm. That's all for this week. Please join us again next week for another edition of Between the Rows. I'm Ed White, and I was your host this week.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com. Or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.